Good evening, everyone. I am your host, Jason Miles, and welcome to another episode of Beyond the Red Zone. I don't know why I said it like a horror movie guy, but you know, I love that title. Anyway, this is our leftist sports show that we do here on TIR. Sometimes due to scheduling reasons, we can't always break the hot news, sports news. Like I think we did our Super Bowl show a few weeks ago. That being said, it's going to be another great show. Mac has a very interesting topic that he wants to discuss. And I promise you, this is not going to be another 4.5 hour dick joke excursion. Okay? We're going to be very serious tonight. This is a serious show here on this very serious channel. All right? So I apologize for coming on late. My power went out right before we were supposed to start. All of a sudden, Mac and I are like, all right, let's get ready. Get done, da, da, da. Doing the pre-show talk. And all of a sudden, boom. Mexico said, not so fast. And then you know what else Mexico said?
We coming for you, nigga.
They did. They did. They said that to me. Sometimes it's a little racist. But that's okay. It's okay. Please welcome maybe the most knowledgeable sports communist in the Southeast. I feel very confident saying that. And there's some sports communists in the Southeast that this man doesn't even know live in the Southeast. But I put him above some of these other people.
That is the nicest thing anybody said about me, and I almost teared up. You know,
I'm gonna write you who's in that region that you don't know, because I don't want to say it out loud.
I'm down. But yeah, everybody. Okay. I did not know that.
Yeah, big sports fan.
The more I learn. Yeah, everybody. We want to apologize. I think it was Greg's girlfriend. Was it Greg?
Was that his name?
I can't remember. Like, I could have sworn it started with a G, but, you know,
Greg or David, it was someone's girlfriend that was like, are these guys talking shit about their dicks again? I was like, hey, lady.
Yeah.
This dick joke. And you know what?
Listen, we know this is a professional channel. We are professionals. There's no fun under communism. You do fun, you get the wall. All right. So we're going to keep this
gulag. Get the gulag for the fun.
That's right. You go to Fun Gulag, actually. It's set up like that. Really shitty. I'm just saying. It's Fun Gulag to the point like where that English guy set up Willy Wonka's thing and it was like a slide.
If I had the money, that's what my gulag would look like. It would look like the chocolate factory. Augustus Goop. Augustus Goop.
Yeah.
The Fulag. Somebody said the Fulag.
Just pushing like... we got to go to Fulag now, Jason. We laugh.
There's so many racist jokes I want to do for the Fulag, but I will keep my mouth shut. But I want to say one thing serious before we get into the Major League Baseball discussion. I saw a post by Ice Cube that I feel like actually might have been written by Ice Cube, and I'm sure people are going to say he didn't write that because you can't say those words. I think he actually wrote it. And basically, Ice Cube has offered a contract to Caitlin Clark. Did you see that?
I did. And you know what? I want anybody who says Ice Cube would never, he can't say that. Ice Cube has fuck you money, and he can say whatever he wants.
He does have fuck you money.
He's got fuck you money now. And the thing is, can you imagine him coming from like NWA, which like for me and you, like me hearing that, like as a pasty white dude, I was like, fuck yes. And they're running around talking about him.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, you were not kidding, especially in my neighborhood. NWA, what's the N stand for? I'm like, I can't say that word.
The first NWA record is like the scariest record. Like NWA comes to your house, you're like, dude, they're going to steal my whole house.
But like, can you imagine like starting out, you got this group of amazing musicians, right? And they put out some records, and then they're like, all right, fuck this, we're gonna go do our own thing, right? And they're all successful on their own. All right. The only person that I could say out of that entire group that has more fuck you money than Ice Cube, and that's Dre.
Oh, Dr. Dre.
Right?
He's doing some Scrooge McDuck shit in it right now.
Oh, dude, you know he is.
While but, singing the theme song to DuckTales.
Is he yes. Just, yeah. They're like, and he's got like a white butler too. You know, he's like, excuse me, doctor. Do you want the pool filled with coins? Nah, bitch, keep it with bills. You know?
Bills and bitches. A new song.
Jeeves, is the pool filled with 100 yet? No, sir. We're dealing with an issue now. Supply chain issues. Fill it up with euros, bitch.
he literally could have euros at the deep end.
Yeah.
The shallow end is like really cheap currency. It's like pesos and shit.
His hot tub filled with British pounds, you know, like.
The Ice Cube offering Caitlin Clark a contract to play in the Big Three League. I don't know if she'll take it, but in his statement, he says, which I thought was really good, we should be ashamed of these women having to go play in leagues in places like Qatar.
And Russia. I think Brittany Griner has taught us all.
Yes, he said that. And I was like, you know, say what you want about Ice Cube, and I will, and have, and will do again. But I have to give him all the props on this one, because women's sports right now is front and center. Basketball is front and center. Everybody's got their eyes on Caitlin Clark, and the one and done model for men's basketball is a problem. People are still going to bet on the men's Final Four.
Absolutely.
It's still a gambling holiday. That being said, the way we love to see this woman just score. And that was the knock on the female game for so long. Who the hell wants to see these women post up and shoot jump shots? It's so boring. Wants to see them take it to the hole.
It's just layup practice. That's all it is. Layup practice.
Yeah. What has the NBA become with the star player, transformative player, Steph Curry, and the Warriors winning three championships from beyond the three-point arc, right?
Yep.
So the women's game takes on a whole new dimension, and having her play in a league, I would love to get people's opinion if they think that it's a bad thing to have her go play in a men's league. But what then happens if she's even mildly successful? You know, off top, everybody's eyes are on the Big Three. The NBA is going to get pissed, and they're going to have to start integrating women into their game.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I don't give a shit. Like, even if the NBA, which, let's all face it, you know, everybody likes to give Adam Silver a lot of credit for a lot of things. He still works at the behest of, you know, a bunch of crusty old white dudes, right? So say Caitlin goes and plays in the Big Three. Maybe Caitlin and Angel Reese both do, right? Mm-hmm. Because I think if you're going to have one, you're going to have the other, because they're like the antagonist and protagonist for each other. And depending on, honestly, what color skin you have, you ascribe the label to whichever that you feel properly about, right? Mm-hmm. Like, everybody likes to give Angel Reese about what happened, but dude, Angel Reese is every bit the baller that fucking Caitlin Clark is, and she just plays a different position. Her game's a little different, right? But say they both, like, Caitlin goes in the Big Three and just balls out, and the NBA pushes back on integration. But you know what I think that leads the NBA to actually fucking do is start investing money in the WNBA. Right? Because people forget that the Aces were one of ESPN's top draws last year. That's why they were on TV so much during the WNBA season.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. People like watching the Aces. The Las Vegas Aces are fun to watch because, like, they've got this amazing head coach, okay, who acts like a hard ass, you know, but you can tell she gets along so well with her team. And they'll just sit on the bench, like, dancing and cutting up in between, like, timeouts and stuff. And when she comes around, they just sit there like this. And they wait for her to pass, and they start dancing again. You know, Coach sees it. Mm-hmm. You know? But, like, it's just – it's a lot – it's a fun game day experience. Like, I don't really enjoy Vegas, but I want to go and watch an Aces game. You know? Like, maybe I fucking go visit a buddy, and I just make a day trip into L.A. and freaking – or into Vegas, freaking – see the team play, maybe, you know, pull a handle with $10 worth of quarters. Maybe I even win a couple hundred bucks. I don't know. But
I did that one weekend and won I think when I went home it was $3,300. That was the night that I had lost a bunch of money, and we were on the same $15 table as Method Man. And he spotted me some money. He spotted me 40 bucks to double down.
Yo, man, the meth. You see, I could see meth doing that, man.
It was real, dude. We kicked with that dude for hours. It was a hell of fun. Vegas is a good time.
Yeah, I gambling wasn't my thing, man. Right. And honestly, it's because my luck is so bad. If it was raining tits and ass, I'd get hit in the face with a dick. All right. And I'm not talking like standard dick.
Nitty coated raindrops.
I'm getting hit in the face full on with like John Holmes's dong, you know. So gambling was never my thing, you know. But yeah, man, I could actually see them like I think that these players, these women, literally being the draw, like the women's tournament. Mm-hmm. Is averaging better ratings than the men's tournament right now. Right. And the silver, yeah, Dick's flying early tonight. Yeah. Sorry, Ho Pie. I apologize.
Sorry, Ho Pie Smile 47.
You know, here on Beyond the Red Zone, things just line up perfectly. And Hope High Smile throwing out Dick's flying early tonight. It just that's serendipitous. That's all I can say. It's very serendipitous.
I believe Dick's can fly.
Hit Mac in the face.
Sorry.
But I think these women are Adam Silver's gotta be watching this and be like, fuck, man. You know, like because the NBA took it on the chin when Brittany Griner got arrested for some bullshit. And honestly, it was. Vladimir Putin wanted to make a point.
Yes, he did.
About American players and Americans in general, but focusing on an American athlete, a very well-known one.
Yep.
Right? You know, so he locks her up because she had a fucking cannabis pod for a vape. And then sends her through the dumbest trial, like, of all time. You're going to go away 10 years. And they're talking about sending her to Siberia and shit. I'm like, holy fuck. You know, like... that's ridiculous. But she went to play there because the paychecks in WNBA fucking suck. You know, they're not comparable to the women's EuroLeague, you know? So like I don't understand how Silver doesn't look at the NBA ownership that owns WNBA teams and say, "Hey man, now's the time." You know, like we cannot have a PR disaster.
And it's a new revenue stream, right? Yeah. It's a revenue stream that they've been trying to get going for well over a decade now. And it finally – and I think, you know, it rolls up from the high school and AAU divisions now. You know, I have a niece who plays AAU ball. So, you know, just parents are watching it. Their kids are watching it. It's an exciting game. Young girls stay on it, or just they stay on the team longer. So you can really, you know, sink your teeth into following an athlete the way that we did 40 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, I think social media is going to help that because, you know, everybody, you guys have to remember, Angel Reese transferred from Maryland to LSU, right? Like she didn't stay at Maryland, and I don't blame her. Maryland doesn't have like the most robust women's basketball program, and let's face it, it's Big Ten. Women's basketball, which outside of Iowa right now because of Caitlin Clark. I mean, they don't have the biggest following. Like, I follow women, Ohio State women's team, because they're pretty solid. It's just they, I mean, I kind of feel bad because they kind of played my game, which was I was 5'8 and a point guard, but I thought I was a power forward, you know? And it's just like, you can't, you're not going to do that well for a long time. But, you know, SEC women's basketball, like that, that is a really, really, really quickly growing facet of SEC athletics. So, like, I get why you go down there, but you got to think, you know, who's playing next season? Our favorite twins. One of them.
Twins, yeah.
One of them. One sister transferred to TCU. Mm-hmm. So that's where she'll be playing next year. And I think she did that. Both of them decided they weren't going to play anymore. One wanted to play. I believe it's Hannah. I don't know which one specifically. Sorry, guys. But she started dating the tight end for the Dallas Cowboys and was like, I kind of still want to play. So I'm going to find a school close to Dallas. And TCU was it, you know, but they bring eyeballs just from the internet.
Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, we've talked about this how many times, dude, these younger players coming out of high school, going into college, know how to brand themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that is bringing people in. I mean, people just sit there and like shit on Livy Dunn, right? The gymnast at LSU.
Yeah.
Like she made like $4 million NIL last year. And I'm like, why would you shit on her? Because she's got like an Instagram following that's like 10, 15 million people. And you know what? Out of those 10, 15 million people, 3 million people watched the NCAA championships last year. You know, the gymnastics championships.
I mean, we talked about this last week on the show that the NIL has done for women's sports more than anything else could have done.
Absolutely.
And I was hoping the NIL would help out women's sports just from the standpoint of, oh, now you can get paid in college to do clinics. Now you can get paid in college to do your social media stuff. I had no idea about women's. I told you, I still can't remember the girl's name. And people have been sending me messages. Is this her? Is this her? I'm like, God, how many is there? It's not her. It's all the images I've seen are not the one that I'm thinking of. But, you know, again, circling back to the original point, props to Ice Cube. Excited to see what Caitlin Clark does. Excited to see what the WNBA is able to offer, because I think Ice Cube is willing to mortgage the house for this one and pay her an obscene amount of money.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you got to think the big three, the first year they did it, the winning team, I think they got to split like $120K. By year three, it was $1 million. Right? Like people watch it, you know, and people forget, like when you talk about like the Drew League, that's televised now, you know, like mm-hmm. LeBron James played in the Drew League last year.
Damn.
You know, like that's, you know, the Drew League was always famous for the people that could play the game, but a lot of them were college washouts because they couldn't stay academically eligible, you know, or just guys who couldn't get into college to begin with, you know, kind of like high school legend type things, you know. But when you've got pros coming in and like, yo, let me get on a team, you mm-hmm. know, and they have a pretty robust, you know, prize for the champs and stuff, you know, I mean, that's good. I mean, I was never going to be good enough to play professionally. Like even if American football had pro teams in Europe, like when I graduated high school, mm-hmm. I was not going to go make those squads. Like, I'm sorry, I'm not, you know, like, it's just not going to happen, you know, but, you know, if these guys can go, you know, these athletes can go places and play in leagues, maybe they're only a month long, maybe it's a whole season. You know, if they can just go and make a living, you know, I'm all for it, man. Fuck. Dude, yeah. If Caitlin Clark, if the next time we see Ice Cube post on Twitter and he's literally driving a Brinks truck and he's just backing it up to Caitlin Clark's driveway, he starts pushing money bags out of it, I'm all for it, man.
I'm excited to see, you know, God knows what that young lady is going to be up against.
Yeah. I mean, let's face it. Most of the players in the big three are former NBA players, right?
Yeah.
I hope Steven Jackson's not suiting up the year she plays, because I can already hear what the fuck he's going to piss and moan about. Like, that guy's – that dude did nothing during his playing days but run down the WNBA, like, say, you know, women basketball players could never be as good or as dominant or, you know, whatever the case – you know, whatever. And just, he was very anti-woman athlete, you know? He and Matt Barnes have that little fucking, well, I shouldn't call it little. They got a big foot.
Yeah,
it's massive because it's Matt Barnes and fucking Steven Jackson, two of the biggest assholes.
Don't get me going on famous people in podcasts.
But right? Yeah. But, you know, it's two of the biggest assholes to ever fucking lace up sneakers, right?
That's why it's a popular show.
Yeah, right? And the thing is they played for so many teams. Like, they're out of fucking 29 markets in the NBA, 30 markets in the NBA. Those two guys covered 22 of them, you know? So, like, you know, they're like, oh, man, I remember that guy. He was here for about 3 weeks before he got flipped to Atlanta right before the trade deadline. But, yeah, Steven Jackson. Yeah,
you know, that's like, the fight guy, right? Everybody remembers the fight guy.
Yeah,
everybody
remembers. Yeah.
Dallas in the Palace, yeah.
Yeah, and they know Matt Barnes from having his old lady run around on him and him.
That is not where you want to be when Jesus comes, being a reality. I told you I saw Matt Barnes in a Wingstop when I was working DoorDash in DP Soakland. And all these young girls knew who he was, and it took me a while to realize who he was because he's tall.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you're Matt Barnes. Like, how the fuck did? And so when he left, I was like, how do you know him? And like, oh, he's on that show. Was it Love and Love and Basketball? Or
I believe it was Love and Basketball.
I'm fucking a famous dude. I know that's. I think that's the premise of the show.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, I was getting ready to ask, was he DoorDashing with you? Because I mean, his ex-wife fucking took him to the cleaners, man.
Was he DoorDashing with you? Made her pick up an order for Steven.
Hey, you got Steven's order yet?
Nah, he was getting, I mean, look, he was getting food at Wingstop. I mean, there's a lot of nice places in downtown Oakland and Lake Merritt he could have been at, but he was like, these niggas want Wingstop.
And he's like the asshole. Like, he's the asshole that gets like 30 different orders just so he gets one of each sauce. You know, like, come the fuck on, man.
It was a larger order.
Yeah. Can I just get my goddamn buffalo wings, sir? You're gonna have to wait until after Mr. Barnes. I'm gonna be here.
Who else I saw randomly in a place that you wouldn't think he'd be at? I think it was my son's third birthday. And there's, I don't know if you have these where you're from. They're called the Jungle. And it was like a play jungle for kids, you know, it's like the timed thing. And then,
yeah,
you know,
we have something like that. Yeah.
Paul Pierce had just walked in, but he had, I guess he was at, cause he's from LA, right?
Yeah.
And I think he has some family in the Bay, and he had a little bitty present with him. We were like, damn, Paul Pierce. he only got a little nigga one outfit.
What you don't understand is that was a Rolex. Okay.
Yeah, that little kid, one Sean John outfit. That's...
Hey, Paul, how much did you make in your playing career?
Shit. Nigga, we was all expecting you to bring a card with some cash in it. You got a Sean John outfit with a little bow tie.
Bro, he's got it in a like a gift bag, and he pulls it out. The Target receipt falls out. It like...
just falls out. No, the Marshall's receipt falls out. Fucked up, Paul Pierce.
Paul, I thought I knew you. Yeah, you knew play and ball me, but you didn't know bad investment, Paul Pierce. Okay? Yeah, no,
fucking paying for this lifestyle, me, is a whole different Paul. You wanted to talk about Major League Baseball and the Players Association.
Dude, yeah, this thing's kind of thrown me off, right? Because, yeah, there was a lockout in 2021 that lasted 99 days, right? And it's the second longest, and I didn't know this until I looked it up, the second longest lockout or strike in Major League Baseball history, behind the strike that killed the World Series in 94. Okay, so they hard negotiating process with Major League Baseball and the owners. But, you know, Tony Clark is the president of the MLBPA. He's a former first baseman. He played for the Tigers, the Diamondbacks, and the Mets. His number two, right, is deputy director Bruce Meyer. Okay. Mm-hmm. And Meyer is like hardcore, like been with the MLBPA forever. You know, he was there with the prior league head or union head. You know, he's been there a long time. And he's also been on some like worked for some other unions that went through like really difficult bargaining sessions. Right. So, you know, they knock out their bargaining. No games are canceled, right, going into the 22 season. And, you know, we think everything's all fine and dandy, right? Well, this week, this cat named Harry Marino, who is 33 years old, he's a 33-year-old attorney. And why some of you might have heard him, he was the guy who started Advocates for Minor Leaguers and helped them unionize when Major League Baseball kind of railroaded minor league baseball into accepting this new deal where 43 minor league baseball teams were eliminated. Mm-hmm. Right. So he works to get them unionized and then they merged with the MLBPA. So minor leaguers and major leaguers are under one union now. And they made the 72 seat executive committee that minor league players get 34 seats on. Mm-hmm. So like the minor leaguers have a bit of say in what's going on, which I think is good. Mm-hmm. Right. Now I'm going to tell you what I find kind of maybe kind of weird is my union steward on my single A team is 21 years old, but that's neither here nor there. Okay. Like that dude's figuring out, whoa, man, like my balance is like negative. What's that mean? You overdrew your account. Huh? Oh, fuck. Yeah, I got to go to this union vote, man. Hold on. I'll be right back.
Bro.
But there's some chirping going on where they want Meyer relieved of his duties and replaced with Harry Marino, you know, the 33-year-old attorney who has a lot of pull with the minor leaguers, but not so much with the major leaguers. So there's this back and forth through the media for the past week. And I'm sitting there watching it because you guys have to realize the MLBPA is probably the most powerful union in the country, right? Mm-hmm. What sport has the highest salaries? Major League Baseball. What sport has the longest contracts? Major League Baseball.
Guaranteed contracts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, what sport has no salary cap? Major League Baseball, right? And what I went digging and I thought it was weird is that a lot of the big names in free agency this year were Scott Boras clients. And I know everybody knows Scott Boras. Maybe you don't know, you know, he has clients in a lot of different sports, but he focuses on baseball. That's his bread and butter, right?
Isn't he the agent they base the character in?
Jerry Maguire.
Jerry Maguire. Thank you. I was going to show me the money movie.
Yep. Yep. Hey, Cuba Gooding Jr. was in it. That's all I remember out of it, really.
All I remember is showing the money.
Cuba Gooding and that Scientologist. I forgot his name.
Something about a cruise.
Yeah. But Boris's clients, these are big names. Matt Chapman, Blake Snell, Cody Bellinger, right? Mm-hmm. These guys were expected to sign like 10, 12-year contracts, $300, $350 million. Well, Snell and Chapman essentially took one-year deals. Like literally, they're 3-year contracts, but there's opt-outs after every year, mm-hmm. right? So these guys can hit free agency again next year. Maybe they had a better season, you know. But a lot of people are saying Scott Boras went with some of his big name players and went to the minor leaguers, and we're like, listen, the union isn't working for you because look at Matt Chapman, right? Gold Glove third baseman, fucking rakes at the plate. He only got a 1-year deal. What do you think is going to happen to you when you make the majors? Right. And when you're telling a bunch of 19, 20, 21 year old kids this shit, what do you think they're doing? Oh, fuck, dude. Yeah, man. Right. And then on top of that, when you look at a lot, almost every major league baseball team, but one has, what they call South American scouting. So they have full time like clinics in the DR, Venezuela, you know, like, baseball hotbeds, you know, mm-hmm. Puerto Rico. A lot of these dudes are signed at like 16 years old.
Yep.
They don't speak English. They have little to no representation. And sometimes you even have what they call bag men who mm-hmm. represent these players and take whatever bonus they get. Like, you know, it could be like $160,000 to sign this contract. The bag man walks away with like $110,000 of it. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, so, you know, collective bargaining in English when you're a non-English speaker probably really fucking sucks. You know, so, you know, they're saying that these agents are allegedly, because I don't want to get sued, allegedly were really conspiring with younger players, using Boris's clients as an example of how they're not going to get paid. The union and the league are working against you to make sure you don't get big money deals, right? Mm-hmm. So they tried. I mean, they did. They you know, they were doing kind of like the backroom thing, like, mm-hmm. Hey, man, you know, Meyer really fucked us. You know, we should probably try and get him the fuck out of here, right? And it would take a vote on the executive committee of, I think it's like they said 70% to remove Meyer. But then Tony Clark has a veto over that, essentially. And Clark has Meyer's back, you know what, no matter what. Like, he's like, this is my dude. This is my number two, you know, like, but like, I read this rebuttal that Meyer wrote in like the Players Gazette, and it was one very well written. You know, I was honestly surprised because I've read a lot of shit in the Players Gazette and I'm like, dude, you did not write that. You know, like, it's, you did not. But no, it's been kind of crazy to watch this unfold, to see how the most powerful union in the country is having kind of this kind of infighting. And I think this is going to lead into something really negative at the end of this collective bargaining agreement, is how are you going to, maybe placate's not the right word, but how do you accommodate younger players and make them feel safe that, hey, if you are major league worthy and you get there, you're going to get that big money deal, right? Because we've seen just player salaries explode for the stars. But those, your middle of the, you know, middle of the road guys, maybe guys who had a good few years and now they're like the scrappy veteran you keep on a roster, their pay is not going up, you know? So, I mean, there's going to have to be some negotiating done to maybe institute like a higher league minimum, or, you know, if you've got 10-year service time, you're automatically guaranteed, you know, X amount of dollars a year when you sign your contract and pass your physical, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. What I was really surprised about was a lot of the players are bitching about the deferred money contracts, especially Ohtani's. Because, you know, you guys saw the giant contract, you saw $700 million, right? Mm-hmm. You know how much it counts against, like, you know, the spending threshold for the Dodgers this year?
Like nothing, right?
$2 million.
Yeah. Does he have most of it deferred for the end?
Out of $700 million, $530 million is deferred until after the end of the contract.
Why did he do that again?
To give financial flexibility to the Dodgers to make sure that they are the Dodgers. You know, and they have the big names and spend the money and keep him in contention for the duration of that contract, because the Angels were supposed to do that, and they sure in the fuck didn't do that. Like, Artie Moreno, if you see him down there, Jason, because that's, he lives in Mexico.
Does he?
Yeah, he's the guy who started the main Mexican telecom. That's why he's got fucking money, right? If you see him down there, you need to just open hand smack him. And when he asks you why, you just point at him and go, you know why. You wasted 6 years of Shohei Ohtani's career. And he might be the best baseball player ever.
Ever.
You know, I mean, it's
getting in the modern era, yeah.
Yeah, it's getting hard to argue that, you know. So but yeah, the deferred contracts are a big sticking point with a lot of like those middle of the road players, because you know, these deferred contracts give you flexibility now, but it's kind of like you're robbing Peter to pay Paul, because that deferred money, portions of it still count against your spending threshold, right? And, you know, with Major League Baseball, it doesn't have a salary cap. It has a spending threshold that if you break it, you pay into essentially a pot that gets distributed amongst lower revenue teams. Mm-hmm. And over the last probably 10 or 15 years, there's only been five teams that pay into it: Mets, Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers, occasionally the Giants, you know, like, I think, you know, during the last work stoppage, that was actually being discussed quite a bit, was we need to institute a salary cap as well as a salary floor like the NHL has, because they don't want teams like the A's the Orioles before they started developing talent and kind of signing them to contracts. The Guardians right now, payroll only went up $1 million from last year, and they did fuck all in free agency. You know, they want teams to have the money they get through the TV contracts and all that stuff and revenue sharing. They want that put back in the team, you know? So, like, increase your payroll. Let's, like, try and win it, you know, all that, you know? But, like, I think that is going to be another sticking point, again, after this collective bargaining agreement, which still has, I believe, 5 more years on it. So, like, dude, it's – like, just because I, you know, am a nerd about the business side of this and I am very pro-union, I just thought this was nuts, that this was wild, that the – one of the largest and most and arguably the most powerful union in the country are publicly fighting like this against each other for a 33-year-old dude who has no association with baseball. Otherwise, other than him saying, you know what, minor league players are getting fucked, and they still are, really, you know, and starting an organization that helped them unionize. Like, other than that, he's just like kind of broing out with some of these guys. And they're like, yeah, man, you should be the number two in the MLBPA, and he's like, wait a minute. You know, like, I thought it was fucking nuts, man. And just reading like some of the back and forth, and, you know, like, I pay for The Athletic because there are amazing sports journalists, you know, on that site. So I don't mind burning $8 a month for something that I read quite a bit. You know, just the things they're writing. It was kind of nuts, you know.
So do you think the end goal is to break the power of the union?
I think the league wants that. I think the owners are tired of paying out 12-year contracts, you know, like you said, fully guaranteed, in the hundreds of millions of dollars, you know. But the thing is, when you talk about like those short deals for the big names, that, and they signed very late in free agency, like Blake Snell just signed last week, you know, and we're getting ready to start the season. Like, well, the season officially already started. The Dodgers and Padres played in Korea, like did a 3-game set there, which was pretty cool. The Koreans really roll out the red carpet for any kind of baseball. I love it. But, you know, collusion is such a dirty term because Major League Baseball owners only got busted for it once. And while it was 28 owners that didn't, who was the guy that served the suspension time? Anybody?
Who was the owner? I don't remember.
George Steinbrenner.
That's right.
It was the Dave Winfield contract. He was the only guy, the only owner that got, like, that did, you know, fucking suspended for it. Even though the 27 other owners totally did it. The 27 other owners were found guilty of it in arbitration. And Steinbrenner was the guy who was kind of like, I'll just fucking fall on this grenade. God damn it. You know, he's like, the 2 years I'm suspended, I better not see one long hair. Not one.
And how have those, I guess a better question is, how have those long contracts turned out? Who, you know, I think A-Rod was the first one I can remember.
Yeah, he had one that was 8. But I would say for the modern contracts.
Jeter had one too, didn't he?
No, he actually signed shorter ones at the end because he just wasn't sure if he was going to keep playing. I'd say Albert Pujols is the cautionary tale. Coming out of the Cardinals, he had a couple good years with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim at the time, which, dumb as shit.
So the worst name ever.
Yeah, really is.
Orange County.
Yeah, why don't you just call them the OC Angels?
California Angels, I loved.
Oh, dude, that was rad.
I love the California. The Wally Joyner card. Mm-hmm. That's Wally Joyner Rated Rookie, which is the backdrop of this show, by the way.
That's right. But that's a cautionary tale because Pujols, you know, he didn't live up to that contract, man. He did not. You know, I see Canseco there too.
Canseco, rated rookie, next to a Pete Rose. There is a Don. Oh, that's a Mike Schmidt, Don Mattingly, Keith Hernandez. You can't see it, but I am covering up Will Clark, who was my favorite Giant.
Will the Thrill, yeah.
I think that's David Cone right here in the corner. Barry Larkin on the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
There you go, yep. Barry Larkin. Nolan Ryan's right here. This looks like not Tom Glavine. Who's the other guy that's really good? Pitcher.
That from the Braves?
Yeah.
That was Maddox.
Greg Maddux.
Yep.
I mean, he Cubs, Braves. Who was the team he played for the longest? The Braves?
He played the longest with the Braves, but it went Cubs, Braves, Cubs, Dodgers is who he ended his career with.
Yeah. I mean, Oral Hershiser ended his career with the Giants, and that was very forgettable.
Well, his best years, I'm sorry, were with Cleveland. He helped rebuild.
I'm sure his championship ring with the Dodgers would beg to differ. Oh,
well, I mean, the thing is, he had like that dominant stretch in LA, and then the injuries hit him. And when they released him, he was just like an afterthought signing in Cleveland. And he and Dennis Martinez, remember, yeah, from Montreal.
Martinez, nasty curveball. God, that man had a nasty curveball.
Yes. Those two really spearheaded the renaissance, mm-hmm, of Cleveland in the mid-90s. You know,
when Greg Swindell.
Well, Swindell at that point was moved to San Diego. And his last year,
you're gone already by then?
93. Hershiser and Martinez got there in 94, right as we're going into the strike year. And then in 95, you know, is when we had that amazing, you know, run in the 144 game season where I think Cleveland ripped off like a stupid amount of wins. It was like 105, just dominated the AL. And then we ran into the buzzsaw. That was the fucking Braves in the World Series. Ugh.
Fuck you, David Justice.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what pisses me off most? They win the series in 95. And then we flip Kenny Lofton for Dave Justice. And I'm like, oh, you brought this fuck here. Ugh.
And what do you get out of that, Dave Justice?
I mean, he gave us a couple good years. Helped us get to the series in 97. But that turned into a shit show. Losing it in extra innings, game 7 against the fucking Now I'm just pissed off.
I made you think about baseball you totally forgot about. By the way, this backdrop is my favorite set of baseball cards. It is the most worthless set of baseball cards. But if anyone has this complete set, I will, and you don't want it because you know it's worthless. I want it because for me, this is the most magical set of baseball cards. This and the same year Topps did football cards, the Jerry Rice rookie year. This is when I start getting into card collecting, like serious. My dad was taking me to like conventions and stuff when those things were in hotel lobbies. So if you have this set.
If you have this set, we got Jason's OnlyFans up. He'll give you the code to get 75% off because we can't give you 100. OnlyFans needs their cut. But you can have 75% off for 3 months.
And it's just me doing cooking videos with Bing Bang out.
Yeah. But the camera's on his feet, so
I'm sure someone would love that. And I'm frying bacon at the same time, so you can just hear me go, ah! Just sound like a Michael Jackson overdub take.
We just put up like a little infographic before the next video for safety reasons. Jason's wearing a merkin to make sure the Franks and Beans are.
Make sure his dinghy doesn't look like Freddy Krueger's face when this shit is over.
Doesn't look like Deadpool's back. And Dr. Claw, you're right. The Marlins won 2 bullshit World Series. It makes me very angry.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Oh,
you know who's probably more pissed off though? The fucking Rockies fans that have been there since the beginning, came in the same year, and they haven't done dick.
Nothing. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. Mm-hmm.
It's the fucking truth, man. And honestly, there probably isn't a more worse run organization than the Rockies. Except maybe like the Columbus Blue Jackets. That's a pretty poorly run organization too.
I feel like the Raiders want to tell you to hold their beer.
I think right now the A's want to tell all of them to hold their beer.
A's, fuck you, motherfucker. Hold my wine cooler. I got a story to tell you.
I like how the owner of the fucking A's is like, listen, guys, we're cutting payroll 30%, but you will get a $20 gift card to all Gap stores because
he's giving everybody In-N-Out gift card. Like, yeah. Dude, they just closed it. Ooh, you're going to have to go to Hayward, my man.
Gives them a Bay Area Metro pass with $3 on it, you know?
A BART ticket. Yeah. With only $20. Dude, to ride public transportation to Bay is a lot more expensive back in my day. When I was coming up, even as a senior in high school, and I lived at an end stop in Richmond, California, to go from Richmond, California to downtown San Francisco, round trip was $4.
Dude, see, that's why, like, my family is, because, like, in the last year, I've had to, like, get a control arm fixed on my car. Literally, I had to buy 8 new tires this past year.
Mm.
And I've had to replace the CPU. So all told, I've probably spent like $4,000, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, I just wish I lived in a place where I could take the bus, you know? Yeah. And my family's like, why? You know how un-American that is? And I'm like, exactly. One, hence some of its appeal.
I mean, that's fucking bread and butter America. That's why we have public transportation. It's not like it's a commie fucking plot to take over the urban core of
the thing is, highway construction and vehicles are
interstate construction. Yeah.
Yeah. Are just freaking. That's all driven by lobbyists that hate trains and buses. You know, like, it's
exactly, you know, dude, when you go and you've been to enough foreign countries to know, when you go to a foreign country where public transportation works mildly well, you're like, dude, fuck the States.
Yeah. Yeah.
Max shilling for big bus. They said Mac and shilling.
PMC, you're goddamn right.
Well, we said we're going to, before we go, because we don't have a lot of time. We have no time for all the dick jokes. Who was the dude whose girlfriend was giving a shit last time? Yeah, I really hope she's watching.
Last episode, guys, who was it that he's like, yeah, I'm sitting in bed with my girlfriend. And she's like, are they really been going on for 4 hours talking about dicks and farts? Like, who was it? I thought it was Greg. Like,
I don't remember the name, man. It was someone that I don't recognize.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, but like, I just, like, it kills me that we just don't deal with infrastructure in this country. And when, like, you get international grades on infrastructure, like, the highest one we had were like D's, like, across the board.
You saw the bridge fucking. Oops.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
That's fucking horrible. And there was a front page article in one of the Bay Area papers that was like, now the Bay Area bridges are under the microscope. It's like, that's not a good microscope to be under, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's fucking ridiculous, man. But yeah, your boy's got a job interview tomorrow, guys. So we can't do 4 hours of dick and fart jokes tonight.
Do you see this? The dicks and farts as well.
Why I'm a patron. You know what?
Thank you very much, Dizzle. Thank you.
All right. I tell you what, Dizzle, next time, Jason, I'll line it up. So we can, like, do, like, a real, like, hard-hitting sports show for an hour, and then we'll go into the champagne room for 3 fucking hours and just make asses out of ourselves.
We need to do that on this show. We don't do it on this show. We give it away for free.
Yeah,
and
we do.
I'm tired of feeling like, you know, I don't want to say on the free show.
That's right. Jason and I need to get paid, bitches. What was one of those little, like, in between lyrics pieces with ODB?
Baby, it was Raw.
That was one of them.
I do not.
It's like, you better give Dirty his money. That's right. We want our money.
Okay? Dude. So, you know, prostitution is, like, legal here, right? Yes. So one thing that happens here more than the States, is that you can get in trouble at your job for, like, how can I put this? You know how you have a job sometimes where money may be involved, and if you do something, like, fucked up, like maybe you credited money to the wrong account, if you work, depending on what you do, you're taking that kind of exchange, your boss will take that out of your paycheck. That's a very common thing here.
Oof.
Yeah. There's no, like, oh, there's an oopsie. It's like, oh, no, that shit's coming out of your check. And so I went somewhere, I won't say, and I was talking to someone I deal with at this place, and they were telling me about a mistake they had made. They put the wrong name and everything was effed up and there's no way they can redo it. And they were like, this is the older woman. And she was like, I don't know what I'm going to have to do. Maybe I should just quit and they can take it out of my final check. And I was like, what are you going to do for a job? And kind of jokingly, she goes, I don't know. Maybe I'll just go be a prostitute. And I was like, is that really what you want to do? And then she kind of, I think she thought I was going to laugh. And I'm just like, serious face. I was like, is that really what you want to do? She goes, well, now you made me feel kind of bad about it. I don't know. Maybe you can be my first client. I was like, is that really what you want, lady? Because that can happen, but I don't know if that's what you want.
Because I'll come and exchange money for services, but you know what you're doing? Paint my house.
Yeah, that is not where you want to be.
I'm missing a few shingles on the roof.
Yeah, I'm just like...
You got a nice tool set, baby?
It's like, that is really not...
My bathroom sink has a big S-curve in the piping. I need that clog cleared.
Like, I don't know if that's what you want, ma'am. She goes, well, now you just maybe rethink the whole thing. I was like, yeah, I think everything will be okay.
Yeah, I think it'll be all right.
But that, that's the real fucked up part about out here. Like, there's no labor rights whatsoever.
Oh, dude, that's... And the thing is, every president that's tried has just run headlong into a U.S.-backed, like, lobbying firm that hired a bunch of, like, ruffians to...
Ruffians. Well, AMLO was able to double the minimum wage, I think, and he added a bunch of vacation days. But as far as, like, enforcing stuff,
yeah,
there's just not enough bureaucratic power to enforce things. So a lot of people get paid under the table. So, you know, you're going to lose certain rights right there. So, yeah. I don't want to make this whole show about... you know, labor laws in the Baja region of Mexico, but it's not.
That's actually
you got a talk gun, baby.
Yeah. I love that. Hey, lady, ever pull a transmission? I'm gonna come down to visit, and you'll be like, Mac, I'm trying to get my car fixed. Be like, bet. I'll be back in 2 hours. And I come like fucking just leading three women with like tools
and shit. Dirt smudged faces. Fucking. Want to suck a dick. It's just. Nah, man.
He needs his exhaust fixed.
That's not what I paid for. I'd be like the worst trick ever. This ain't Home Depot. This is a house of pussy. Get the fuck out of here.
House of pussy.
What makes it weird is I'm just walking around naked asking him to do the things.
You want this? Yeah. All of this? Guy's like, oh, I don't know. You get this weird dude around the corner like, yeah, baby, let's do this. Ever been with a dude named Cletus? Oh.
Why do you have all these women leaving your house? I was like, oh, someone's got to fix that foundation.
Yeah.
Newer Yanks is still frying bacon. How much would you give me to fry a whole bunch of bacon totally naked on camera?
I put 10 in.
And stream it. You put $10 in?
Yeah, hell yeah, man.
Hey, if we get 10 people putting $10 in, that's $100.
I get paid on Friday, bro.
Oh, I'd so do that. I would so.
Guys, you just see Jason, like, he's got tongs and he's trying to lay it in there, just like. Mac, why does this hurt so bad?
Toussaint's just holding the camera, just crying.
Jason, I didn't sign up for this. You said serious journalism.
Yeah, you're fucking jotting this down, right? The decline of left media.
That's right. I'm writing that article too. Like, this is I just like put a I put like a still from you frying bacon, like trying to cover a nipple that hasn't even turned six times. Opening sentence.
Ving Rhames and Baby Boy style drinking juice. That's what I'm talking about, dude. How awesome would that be? You just do that and be like,
my opening line would be, because of late stage capitalism, this is what communists are forced to do to make a
There's just one tear rolling down my cheek. Like Denzel in Glory, but instead of the whips, it's the bacon. My balls. Oh shit. Where's that dude's girlfriend? So I hope we can make it
again. Well, since you live in Mexico, you can say, I'm Jason Miles and this is El Burro. You just get like, we see you dip into a trash can and gets hit by like a car with three wheels, you know?
That's the only way I would ever blow up. You want to hear something really funny? Before we go on air, before my power went out, I got a message from someone that is a repeat guest on this show. I won't say who. And they got recognized by like this powerful dude in Hollywood. This dude was like, hey, you're so-and-so. I know you from TIR. I was like, no shit. And he's like, the guy wants me to be one of the, what do you call him? A specialist for certain things. I won't get too into it, but
bro,
I was like, that's hella fucking dope. And then another person he meets goes, oh, aren't you, you know, so-and-so? He's like, yeah. He goes, I know you from TIR. And they had got in a whole fucking conversation about DEI. So we're influencing left spaces, Mac, powerful people trying to break the neoliberal order.
It's almost time for us, Jason. The reason they haven't reached out yet is because we lean too much into the dick and fart joke. Like, they both seem really intelligent, like they know what they're talking about, but I'm afraid that we start talking about, you know, the failings of capitalism, someone's going to yell out dick, and then Jason and Mac are going to be like, oh man, yo.
Who's got the bacon? The Benny Hill music plays.
You got like tearaways on. It's just like. Toussaint pulls out like a one range little thing we plug in, and you get the bacon out. You're like, here we go.
And you know, and that's how you blow up. And the next thing you know, we all fucking are no longer in debt.
That's right. Jason, well, PMC already threw in $10 for the naked. Bacon, so.
When I tell Toussaint that we have to figure out how to do that, she's going to be like, oh my God. I can hear when she gets frustrated with me, the New York accent gets really bad.
Oh, Mercutio pulled it out. It's Joey. Joey's girlfriend that we were giving a hard time to.
Is Joey watching right now?
I don't think he is.
Okay.
A cab cooking show. Oh, all fucking balls.
Fuck yeah. Hey, you get a Nuri. Fuck Jesus Christ. Hey, God damn it. I can't work this thing.
Dude, Nuri, we're taking a cab.
Nuri, you just got this, Nuri.
Here it comes! Woo, woo,
woo, woo. Oh my God! Oh my God!
Oh my God!
Oh my
God!
Oh man.
That is the comp. There's no comment for the rest of the week.
Nope.
That's going to be better than that one.
Jason, we are going to change the meaning of ACAB. It's going to be very upset people. But when we start launching your nude cooking show, we're just going to call it ACAB, all cock and balls. All cock and balls. ACAB with Jason Miles.
I'm like doing all this extra little cutesy shit for the show. And, you know, I you know, we're doing the music series, and I promised I was going to make a playlist of all
these.
Dude,
that playlist is rad as fuck.
That playlist is also bipolar as hell.
You're talking to a dude who's on like four different medications and is in therapy twice a week. I get it. I get it.
So it speaks to you.
Yeah. You know.
There's like no two genres in a row. I don't think there's any two genres in a row.
Dude, it's I'm looking forward to listening to it because this whole week, like this time of year, like my mental health just takes like a nosedive. I don't know what it is. It's just like clockwork. It's like, so I've just been listening to Miles Davis for like 10 days straight.
Ooh.
And that is not good for your mental
Really?
Health.
That's my Saturday. I have two things on the weekends that I always go to. It's either Miles Davis, Bitches Brew era.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or Patsy Cline.
Yeah. I don't do a lot of Patsy Cline. I'm not going to lie. But like Miles Davis, like if you get into some of his later stuff, it's just very dark, you know, like, and like I said, my mental health is just like, I'm spiraling, you know what I mean? Like I'm doing all the things I can to not spiral, you know, like I'm getting up, I'm running, I'm going to the gym, I'm reading more, you know, like I just busted into Notes of a Native Son by James Baldwin. Which,
oh, okay. I you know, when you're done with that, let me know. Send me a message. Let me know what you thought of that.
I will.
Did you ever check out Erasure?
Not yet. I have a list of books literally on a note on my desktop that you've given me, and it's like 12 deep at this point.
So, I got to give you – I'm reading some books right now. Actually, another reason why I have to end early tonight is because I do have to finish a book for the show tomorrow, and then I have another book for Tuesday that I have to read. I think I told you guys on the show, we get hit up now by publicists.
See, that's great. When I was doing You Don't Know History, I had a couple professors that had just finished their books and signed their publishing deal that would be like, hey, man, I can give you like a promotional copy. Mm-hmm. And then why don't you read it and let me come on? And I was like, fucking bet. You know, like, absolutely. Like, I need a guest this week. You know, so that'd be great.
Oh, dude. Well, we have some like major publishing houses that like Simon and Schuster, like the big publishing houses. So it's not just it's not an academic press.
Yeah.
So we've had, I mean, people sometimes don't like the shows cause they can be a little more liberal with the guests, but, I like a well-rounded show where you can take the conversation into different ways. And if I have a more liberal guest, which we won't be having tomorrow, it's a, definitely a Marxist take on, the fall and rise of the finance industry. I think you're really going to dig that book.
I am really going to dig that show.
I think you guys are going to dig that show quite a bit. And then next week, we have one of the people that wrote a book about Julian Assange coming on Tuesday. And then there's another book about kind of the fall of journalism coming on Thursday. So
Jesus Christ, you just got a hot button topic.
I got a lot knee deep. Well, you know, when you get hit up and you're like, I take it all on.
You will on OnlyFans when Jason when Jason makes you a Caesar salad while wearing nothing but the bright neon green bathing suit from Borat. Naturally, one testicle will hang out the side.
Okay, that's almost as bad as coming on my chest. Gotta get off on my chest.
That's right.
But before we go, there's one thing I want to talk about that isn't the NFL, and I want to get your take on this.
Let's go.
I watched maybe my favorite Stallone, Frank Stallone. He followed me for 5 minutes on Instagram.
About five?
Well, because I literally enjoy watching his film, Terror in Beverly Hills. The scene where everyone dies in Terror in Beverly Hills is the funniest scene I've ever seen in my life. If you heard someone shooting an Uzi in a very small boutique, would you peek your head out of the dressing room? Hey, what's happening out there?
No. No.
You have to watch Terror in Beverly Hills. Anyway, ugh, Frank Stallone.
Horrible, but I'm going to watch it.
Okay. Okay. You get yourself a six pack of White Claws.
Ooh. I'll just buy six of the Tall Boys. I really enjoy those.
And you sit back and get ready to laugh so incredibly hard at not just the overt racism of the movie.
Oh, shocker. Frank Stallone was in it.
It's Cold War. It's 88.
Oh, man.
And it's, you know, it's terrorist. Mm-hmm. And they're going to kidnap the president's daughter.
Naturally. And
for some reason, she's just shopping in Beverly Hills.
Oh.
And they come in and they just start like shooting up everything in this department store. And Frank Stallone has to save the day. And he's like a karate and weapons expert.
So he read the back of a G.I. Joe packet. You know, the old bio they used to have on the back.
Oh, dude. And he's trying to, you know, it's karate, like, hey, karate weapons. Brother. Remember that movie, Bowfinger?
Yes.
It's real life Bowfinger. It's like some real life Bowfinger shit.
Oh, man.
But anyway, Frank Stallone at the final scene when he's going to go take out the terrorists have kidnapped his family. So they're like, we're going to kill your family if you try to kill the terrorist guy. And so he's like scared to do it, but he has to do it. And they give him this rope, and the rope is all wound up. He takes the rope, he puts it on his shoulder, and then he goes to fight the terrorist. He never uses the rope. It stays just on his shoulder the whole time. And I'm like, what did you take it for?
It's like Boondock Saints when they reach into the bag. Like, rope? You got your big knife. Oh, keep your fucking rope, you know?
Mac, can you answer this question?
Was I ever in proximity to Jason Miles and ate a meal containing inexplicable rape? Mercutio, the sad fact is I haven't made it down to Mexico yet. And every time Jason's on the East Coast, I'm slumming away, wishing I was at the show, that Marcus will come back and be like, Mac, it was fucking rad.
I'll be real close to you June 8th.
Oh.
I'll be in DC.
Oh. June 8th. What am I doing? I'm doing jack fuck all in June. And that's right.
I'll get you a train ticket.
Bro. Yeah, I'll be there. My son's birthday's the 6th, and we're doing his party on the 4th. So
if you can do it, let me know. It's us. It's me and Pascal. Adolph Reed. I think Varn is going to be there. Derek Varn is going to be there and some other people.
You guys will see me like they're taking a picture. My head's just in the corner like.
It's going to be at Bus Boys and Poets June 8th. I don't have all of the details, but we're still waiting for some people to confirm. That's why we haven't put a flyer up.
Okay. Inexplicable raisin sounds like a weird.
I enjoy raisins, Mac, and apparently you're not supposed to like raisins. I like carrot raisin salad.
Oh. Jason, don't take this the wrong way. That's the whitest thing you've ever said to me. Just the whitest. Like, so white, you had three kids. Their names all end in Lee, and you spell it different for each one.
And my daughter wore UGG boots at 8. No.
They all have Stanley Cups as well.
Lynn. Braden. Jade Lynn. No. All my kids' names have a J in it, though.
See, I respect that. That's all right. But raisin and carrots, dude?
Yeah, it's very delicious. And if you really want to spice it up, you throw some pineapples in there as well.
What the fuck? You have a palate, my friend.
I was telling this to a lady friend of mine, and she laughed really hard, I laughed really hard, and then she got quiet, and she goes, wait, you do what? I was like, oh, I ran out of raisins, and I thought I had bought raisins, and I had prunes, so I had these prunes here, and I wanted to make the carrot raisin salad, so I used prunes instead, and she paused, and she goes, and we fucked?
I let you put multiple parts of your body in me.
Dude, I fucking threw the phone down. I started cracking up so fucking hard. Oh my God.
Oh, dude, I felt that burn. I wasn't even involved in this. Like, the fuck, man.
That was the best mean thing, and the way she said it too, she like paused.
Oh, you got the dramatic pause.
Oh yeah, she was like, and she goes, and we fucked. I was like, woo.
She did like the quiet, like it, like, and we fucked.
Like, yeah. Like, I fucked that, raisin guy.
When you know there's six like question marks at the end of the sentence, you're just like, God.
Like I never thought. Like,
can you imagine? All right, chat. This is what we're gonna do. We're gonna figure it out. You guys know where to find me on Twitter and Blue Sky. We're gonna link up. We're gonna put in, and we're gonna get Jason a shirt that said "I fucked the raisin guy." And he's gonna give it to this woman.
Oh, that would be. No, like we won't get into that, but yeah. Hey, Raisin King.
Raisin King.
You know why else they fucking tease me, Mac? In the champagne room, I admitted this, and I'll admit this on a regular show, and apparently this is not normal. I thought this was totally normal. There's a raisin brand they sell here in Mexico. I'll show you the box. I'm going to show you the box.
I'm not going to lie, Chad. I'm really excited to see this version of Raisin Bran. I mean, in defense of Mexico, it probably is made with real dried grapes that become raisins rather than whatever they put in American Raisin Bran, which is not a raisin. But, you know, I'm interested to see how this looks.
Okay, here it comes. Are you ready?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So it's different than the States. So this is the box.
Oh, okay. Multi-brand.
So pasas is raisins, right?
Okay.
I add extra raisins in here.
You fucking weirdo. I was backing up Mexico saying there probably are dried grapes that turn into raisins in that cereal, like there is not here in the United States, but
this is like my favorite, dude. This is my favorite, and it's not enough. When I put the spoon in, there has to be a good ratio of raisins to bran.
Mercutio, we must have this raisin discourse in the harsh light of the day. A raisin in the sun, if you will.
Jason is obviously some sort of raisin pervert.
Okay, so we get the I fucked the raisin guy, his lady friend, but we get raisin pervert shirt for Jason.
This is a quality cereal. They have a decent amount of raisins, but come on, man.
I'm telling you right now, stop showing the box. They're not paying you. Now, if someone like directs this to the Raisin Brand company in Mexico and they're like, fuck yeah, we need Jason Miles to be a pitch man, and you just hold the box the entire time next show, I am all for it. Make some money, dude.
See, Sean Moon knows. Brand to raisin ratio on the spoon.
Stop it. Eric, and I'll tell you why this is so weird. Middle Easterners add raisins and nuts to rice, which I think complements it. And on top of that, you're not getting like the dark raisin. You're getting like the green. You're getting the green like grape, dried grape raisin, which mm-hmm. has a different flavor. It's more sour. And then you put the seasoning in the rice. It's Middle Eastern food's amazing. But Jason, the raisin pervert, okay, dumping extra raisins into his raisin bran, which we all know why he's eating it. It's not love of raisins. It's to keep him regular.
No, it okay. is because I love raisins.
You fucking weirdo.
I just love raisins. What is wrong? I only put raisins in these.
What things. Is wrong?
With raisins. I turn into Jerry Seinfeld whenever I eat too many raisins.
When he's talking raisins, Jason just he becomes.
What the hell is wrong with raisins?
Elaine.
The joke was that I'm actually the person that goes to white people's picnics and fucks up their potato salad.
Jason. Jason goes to the white people picnic. He's like, raisins in the mac and cheese? Ooh, bitch.
Like, I'm just like, I'm hiding. Martha, did you fucking put raisins in the potato salad?
You know, this is great, but there's not enough. And you just see him pull out a little box.
And then they look at me and I just go, ching. Look, dude.
Jason, I think... raisin above the negativity.
I don't know why you guys have such a big deal with carrot raisin salad. You know why they fucked? You know why they were even more mad, Mac? Because people did. Apparently, people had never heard of it, and they're like, "Wait a minute, this has mayo in it." I'm like, "Yeah, that's what puts it all together. Mayo."
Okay, dude. I've eaten mayo once in my entire life. I was 24 years old.
Oh, you're missing out.
And this guy smoked a brisket and he slices it up and we're having biscuits or, you know, brisket sliders. And I'm fucking pumped for this. I'm like, yeah, brisket. And I see him slather the top bun with mayo. And I'm like.
That can be very delicious.
And I was like, I'm going to eat it because this dude has been up for 16 hours, low and slow with this brisket. It looks amazing. And there's still enough left where I could probably sneak just some brisket. And I put it all together, and it's got like this habanero cheese on it, so there's some heat to it. And there, you season the protein really well. And then there's a little bit of barbecue sauce on the bottom bun. And I'm like, here I go. And I bit into it, and I pulled away, Jason. And I'm chewing that first bite, and it's just this slime that's all over my mouth. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I was like, what the fuck is mayo made out of? And I was like, is it just like fat?
No, it's.
I was like, this is disgusting. So whenever people are like, do you want mayo on your burger? I'm like, fucking say that again. I will fight you right now. Yes, I detest mayo. I detest ranch. I don't like white condiments.
Jesus, you are the original black nationalist. No, my brother, I will not have ranch with them chicken strips. You got any honey mustard?
It's Mac X. That's all you got to call me tonight.
Mac X. Again and again, the white man wants to bamboozle you with his ranch and white condiments.
I'm going to show up with glasses and a suit on next time, Jason.
I want the sweet and sour sauce. I want the barbecue sauce. But the white man tries to molest your taste buds with his delicious ranch dressing.
Not
given to you by a big booty white woman. Oh, Brother Malcolm, you're speaking my language.
Okay, Jason, I'm gonna
now this nigga pops up every time I say big booty white woman.
I'm not even kidding, Jason. I got Procreate. And I started drawing. And when I finish it, I'm going to send it to you. I'm going to leave it up to you if you want to show everybody. It could very well lead to me getting shot, and I understand that at this point. But with it being the running joke,
you just gotta let it go.
That's right.
Let it go.
Just picture Dr. King in a suit standing there, resolute, hand in here, and he looks over his shoulder, and I got a white woman in a sundress handing something into a stroller, and her ass is just out.
I would make that the TIR avatar on all social media.
Well, I'm working on it.
Look, what do they call me? Watch out for the white man spy, Jason Milestein, with his white mayo and raisins. I hope you guys are enjoying the cancellation. This is why I can't get on black shows. They're like, oh, not that dick. Like,
It's funny. They're like, yo, man, Jay Smiles, like, you check out that last video? Dude, fucking rad, right? And they're like, do you watch that sports show he does? And the guy's like, nah, bro, raisins. What?
He does a whole thing with MLK is fucking white.
Oh my god!
I made a thumbnail, and I was really so you can tell if I'm really tired and mildly depressed by the ridiculousness of the thumbnail for the show. And now I have no supervision whatsoever. There's no oversight. And so the thumbnail is Jesse Jackson leaning in and talking to, why did I forget his name? The star of the Black Panthers with Huey Newton. Bobby Seale.
Bobby Seale.
He's leaning in talking to Bobby Seale. And I put a speech bubble over him. And he's saying, hey, don't look now. But see that big booty black chick with the big fro and the dashiki? She just winked at me. And then Bobby Seale's thought bubble says, I can't take you civil rights Negroes nowhere. I really did that.
Oh, man, we're going to the Fulag. We broke the rules, Jason. We've laughed far too much on the series show. Now we have to go to the Fulag.
I saw that, and I was like, oh, man, either I'm going to get some fucked up messages or no one's going to notice. And no one noticed. I had the tits from Weird Science as a thumbnail, and no one noticed.
I mean, those were nice tits too.
The digital ones.
Digital real these days, man. AI does amazing illustrations. Okay, Jason.
Yeah, Mercutio's right. That's the thumbnail for Jason's upcoming big black power panel. Yeah. That's what I named it. I was thinking about that. I was like, I totally called it the BBP.
I mean, it could be worse. Like, I would have died if I got an invite. Like, in my email, it says, come to Jason's BBC. What?
I told you about my neighbor, right? That told me his first wife left him for the BBD. I was like, I'm sorry. And he was bigger, better deal.
Oh. I thought you were going in a different direction there, man.
Sorry, you should see my face when he said it. It's like, did you invite me over to say this shit? This is some kind of weird revenge shit. That's what I got on them ass whoopings for. Oh, dude, this panel, Saturday show. All the jokes I'm getting out now, because the next two shows, I can't be funny.
No, you got to kind of.
Oh, yeah, they're very serious shows.
Jason's BBPP, now on OnlyFans. Big black bird.
There were so many different ways I was going to go with that picture. I didn't know if to take one of those like stills from those fucked up porns. But I was like, no.
Oh, the casting couch. Yeah,
I didn't know. But then superimpose everybody's face is going to be on there. Like, there's so many horrible things I wanted to do. And I was like, maybe that's too far. Let's
reel it in. I need to have some semblance of seriousness here. Oh, man.
I do want to ask you a serious question.
Of course.
We started with a serious question, and fucking Frank Stallone once again derailed the conversation.
What an asshole.
So if anyone here knows Frank Stallone personally, be like, look, dude, you caused this show to be at least 30 minutes longer than it had to be.
Thanks, Frank.
And we found out that Jason's raisin fucking love of raisins is now keeping him celibate.
It's going to be funny when we get her the shirt. And you give it to her, and she kind of, like, is like, eh. And then like, something happens. You guys split up. But then, like, we see an Instagram post of her wearing it, like, with all her friends. And she's just
it's just a picture of me eating carrot raisin salad.
That's, like, your response to it. Just... That's, I'm the raisin guy.
That, oof.
Oh, man.
Well, I still think that was the funniest thing I ever heard. That person is a fucking hilarious. But I do want to ask you a serious question. Mm-hmm. Mike Tyson is going to fight Jake Paul. And Frank Stallone, who, you know, him and his brother are, I would say they're boxing insiders.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you see Sly do, Frank is right there with him. They're very close. And
well, Frank's got to make sure he still eats 3 times a day.
Fucked up. He's got gold platinum records.
Okay. There are a lot of bands that have some gold platinum records that are now living in their mom's basement.
That's so true. You know how many people that, like, work doors at LA with platinum records? But
just saying, I know a guy who fucking won an Emmy, and he's a bouncer at a bar I go to all the time.
That's so fucked up.
But you know what's funny? It got really hard during COVID, and he tried to pawn it, and they're like, "We don't even know if this is real, dude."
Fuck. You know what I used to, when I had money? I did buy a couple gold records on eBay.
I mean, that would be like a cool thing to have, but like, after, like, I just feel horrible when you look at how some of these, like, actors, actresses, you know, recording artists and athletes, when the good times are gone and they didn't manage their funds well and they're auctioning off all this shit, like, that for me, like, one part of me is just like, fuck yeah, that'd be so cool to have. And I'm like, that's like stealing from a corpse, man. Like,
there's a darkness to it. I mean, I ended up trading it for these, it was a Motley Crue. Was it Motley Crue? I think it was a girls gold cassette, and it's not band members all the time that do it. Sometimes it's like executives. Uh-huh. Everybody gets, like, you know, the same thing with, like, Super Bowl rings, championship rings. You can find a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, well, you know what the shitty thing is? When the Cubs won in 2016, they got everybody a ring, but the support staff for the team, they made them give them back.
That's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because Tom Ricketts is a fucking piece of shit. I mean, that's...
Jesus.
I mean, he's... You gotta think the Ricketts family made their money in newspapers. The only thing he's got worth anything at this point is the Cubs.
That's the worst owner. At that point, just give me a gift card. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Or, you know, I'll take a watch. You know, like, I got a Garmin watch where it's like 5 years old and the battery barely stays charged. I'd be like, hey, man, you can keep that fucking ring because you're just going to ask for it back. But can I get another Garmin watch?
Can I get a cool watch? Can I get an Apple watch?
You know, like.
But seriously, though, Frank Stallone is like the Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight. Frank Stallone goes, Jake Paul, he comes out and he goes, Jake Paul is at best an amateur. And he started boxing way too old.
Mm-hmm.
Most people that start boxing start way younger. But there's one thing that a good friend, Bert Cooper, reminded me of. He goes, that while that's true, the resources that Jake Paul has to even start at an older age is a lot different. That being said, you know, 26 is definitely not 36.
But, yeah, and let's face it. He hasn't fought anybody. Not, you know.
He hasn't. And Frank Stallone says it. He goes, he fought. The one time he fought an actual boxer, he lost.
Mm-hmm. And I'm using that term loosely because Tommy Fury is a reality star who only boxed because his cousin drove him or stepbrother, you know, pulled him into it. That's it. You know, like, Tommy Fury is a fucking bum. You know, it's just like.
And he beat Jake Paul.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, people kept saying it was close. And when you watched it, it was like, no, it really wasn't. Jake Paul fought off his back foot the entire night because Tommy Fury at least knows how to throw a proper jab. and followed up with a combo. And, you know, you got to think, when Jake Paul stepped in the ring with a lot of the other guys he fought with, he outweighs them by a large amount. Like, if he was an actual fighter, he'd be a cruiserweight, dude. You know, 200 pounds.
He's a big dude. And he's, I don't care what anybody says. And I look, I have nothing to prove this. I think he's a little roided out.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised.
But anyway, Jake Paul, he goes, Jake Paul's never faced a real boxer. He goes, Mike Tyson. He goes, I've known Mike Tyson for years. And he goes, Mike Tyson has incredible punching power and he's extremely quick. And Jake Paul's been fighting these guys that aren't boxers, that don't have boxing skills and the level of quickness that Mike Tyson has. And if Jake Paul misses a cross, if he gets like super right hand heavy, like most inexperienced boxers do, I'm just going to throw this right. I got him. The thing that I think a lot of people are forgetting is Mike Tyson's also in his 50s. Yeah, and even Mike Tyson knows he's not that quick, and he was never a 9-round, 10-round, 12-round guy to begin with. So you're talking about a man that's never been a distance fighter. If Paul can just stay in the ring for 12 rounds.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I don't even think it's going to go. I don't think it's a 12-round fight. I think it's only like at max 9.
How many times? Tyson went 9 in my lifetime. How many times?
I think twice.
Holyfield both times? Not even, right?
No, one fight with Holyfield went 9. Maybe it's only the one time. Yeah,
Buster Douglas, maybe? I think he went like 9 with Buster Douglas.
Maybe. But yeah,
he never went the distance. He was beating the shit out of guys. 90 seconds was Spinks.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is Tyson, when he was younger, was able just to kind of like bull in the china shop through good jabs, right? The issue with Tyson is as he got older, especially when you watch like the Lennox Lewis fight, right? Where Lewis picked him apart with a jab before he hit him with a two piece, and you saw Tyson just, Tyson, I don't want to say he's not a glass jaw guy like Amir Khan, right? Where if you just glance his chin, he's going to go down. But Tyson's the type of dude, especially in the later parts of his career, where if you connect strong enough, you can put him down. The problem is wearing him out, getting him gassed until his hands are down and being able to land that punch. Lennox Lewis was able to do it because he had almost a foot in height on Mike Tyson.
And he's a skilled boxer.
Very skilled.
Hugely specialist.
Yeah. Fuck. He was such a pretentious asshole, but he was amazing to watch in the ring. He really was. And I always hated his introduction, you know, fighting out of England by way of Canada and Jamaica. Lennox Lewis. And it's like, pick one.
I don't think this fight would be taken by Jake Paul if Mike Tyson was full on serious. I saw an interview that those guys did years ago and I felt really awkward. Jake Paul's like, I'm going to fight you. And Mike Tyson was like, no. He goes, you're like 20 years younger than me. You'll kill me. And they all start laughing. But I thought that was just rude to go up to a man that old and think that you're going to fight the guy from the video game that was done before you were even old enough to play video games because you're so young.
Yeah.
So why would you want to fight someone and even try to hold that up as something to be proud of? It's you're hitting on a dude with the AARP card, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is one of those things. I'm gonna firmly place it at the feet of Roy Jones, right? Bernard Hopkins won a light heavyweight title at 48 years old, right? But people forget that Bernard Hopkins doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, only eats chicken and rice. Like, he lives, eats, sleeps, drinks boxing. That's it, right? It's all he does. Dude, he still looks like he walks around at like fucking 3% body fat, you know, and he's in his mid 50s now, right? And he was a competitive fighter all the way to the end. When he got knocked out by Joe Smith, he said, you know what? I'm not as I can't keep my defense up. I can't keep up with these young guys. I'm done. He's like, I had a great career, but you know, this is it for me. And he never got back in the ring, not even for these fucking misfit fights, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's been offered a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But for a guy who doesn't spend money, he's got plenty. He's good, right? When you look at somebody like Roy Jones, who burned through almost his entire earnings, right? He came back at 51. And at the end of his career, he had moved up because it was so hard for him to cut weight. He moved up to cruiser. And he looked tiny compared to these cruiserweights because you got to think he started at junior middle and was the middleweight fucking enforcer for 15 years, you know, like, and then he moved up to super middle for a bit. And then he made that big jump up to heavyweight to fight John Ruiz. And that sapped him of everything. That really, that was the undoing of his career, but he had burned through all his earnings and was still doing smokers at like 50, 51.
Oof.
And at this point, he's so like he's got a glass chin and he's losing to guys like me fighting in the fucking parking lot of a titty club at midnight, you know? Like when you see that people will still pay pay-per-view for it, and that's what he was doing. He was getting pay-per-view money, Jason, you know? And then you get the Paul brothers who do this misfit fight shit, you know? Where I'm going to fight Ben Askren, who was never known as a hitter in MMA, certainly wasn't going to become a hitter in a boxing ring, right? I mean, there's a reason Dana White passed on him the first time when he left Bellator. He's like, fuck you, man. Go to one. I don't want you here. You step up to fucking dudes at 155 in the UFC, they're going to crater your forehead, right? You know, and what happened when he fucking finally got to the UFC? Just got his shit pushed in. Like, there's a new guy on the fucking block. Right. Like just it was miserable. But with all these misfit fights, you know, and Tyson still being the name he is, and Tyson's more of a name now for what he's done after getting, you know, away from the game. Right. And honestly, when you box, man, you always have the itch. You always have the itch. Like it's always there. Right. The problem is knowing that you're old, you're slow. You know, you can't do it, you know. Tyson's still in really good shape for his age, phenomenal shape. Mm-hmm. And then you throw out the money, right? Like, I think Jake Paul's last fight cleared like $140 million. Mm-hmm. Ridiculous money. So even if Tyson goes in there, say he knocks out Paul in the second round, he's going to walk away 25, 30 mil, easy. You know, if he goes six rounds and loses, he's still walking away with 25, 30 mil.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, let's face it. Tyson's declared bankruptcy twice. You know, I mean, it's.
Yeah, everybody goes, it's a cash grab. It's this, it's that. I'm sure it's all those wonderful things. And also to assume. How can I put this? If you look at it from the music perspective, right, there's all these bands that get together and they hate each other. And they've hated each other for 40 years.
Oh, before you go on, I went to see Godsmack last week. Mm-hmm. And it was an acoustic set where they just played covers.
How was that?
It was actually really good because they're a phenomenal band. But you could look by their body language. They did not want to be around each other. Did not.
You know, you get it. You, for whatever reason, you're mad about royalty money. You're mad about who screwed whose girlfriend. You're mad about, you know, all kinds of shit, right?
Well, dude, the thing is, Godsmack, they did their first three records like back to back to back.
Mm-hmm.
Their deal was for six. Mm-hmm. After the third record, they went 10 years before putting in another one out. Then there was five. And it's been 4 years since that one. And so now they're on their last one. I think they're just like, dude, I don't want to see any of you fuckers anymore. We just got to make it through this contract. And then we can.
Yeah, it's. And you know what else sucks in that kind of stuff? And I think we've talked about it on one of the music shows. You can have a first album hit and not have any money.
Yeah.
And the second album better hit about like the first or bigger than the first. Like Michael Jackson is that one in a million motherfucker. Prince. These are guys that are one in a million motherfuckers who their earlier stuff did okay enough for them to stay relevant, because charts back then, before the world before MTV, was a hell of a lot more segregated.
Yeah.
And Michael Jackson and Prince kind of break the segregation to an extent, right, of MTV. We don't have to get into the nitty gritty of that. But let's just talk about from the pop music level, right? And their follow-ups to their big hits that started to make them go beyond the black music genre. So 1999 for Prince and Off the Wall for Michael Jackson, their follow-ups to those are genre defying. Thriller and Purple Rain.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say those two were able to kind of like move seamlessly between, you know, genres.
Where they transcended race with, by the time they make their follow-ups. And the point is to say, that's when you're really making I Bought a Mansion money, when you have the follow-up to the massive hit. Because it costs money to make the hit massive.
Yeah.
And nothing has changed from that standpoint. There's still pay-to-play models. It's on the playlist now instead of the radio station, but all that stuff still exists.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, these guys don't make a lot of money. And then when it's the 40th anniversary for something or the 20th anniversary for something, and these promoters start calling, because nostalgia sells more than new shit.
Yes, absolutely.
Go look at what the hottest tours are.
Dude, that's why we had Woodstock 94 and 99.
And 99.
Yeah.
They tried to do it again in 2019.
Oh, yeah, I saw
but
that.
But Coachella already had surpassed them, and they didn't sell enough tickets because I was still working in the industry then. The amount of money that you get offered is pretty large. And also, too, some people still just dig it.
Yeah.
You dig playing. Like, I'm sure the Police loved playing those shows together, and I've seen interviews with them all individually, and they all enjoyed it. But that payout was on a whole nother level, and those guys were already all millionaires. The only people that don't take the money is Led Zeppelin, and part of me thinks the reason why Led Zeppelin doesn't take the money is because they love laying the fuck low. You know why they want to lay low? Because they did some foul shit when they were younger.
Yeah.
And in the age of social media, the last thing you want to do is have a big ass reunion tour and someone wants to shit all over it by saying, hey, remember when these guys used to fuck 13-year-olds?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, there's a reason why Kiss keeps Slayer's coming back.
Yeah. Primus is actually playing the birthday show with the lead man from Tool. Yeah, Maynard, it's his 60th birthday, so it's going to be a perfect circle, not Tool. Primus and I can't remember the other band, but they're doing
all these legacy bands that existed when MTV and terrestrial radio were a thing. They make tons of money, and when there's a reunion thing or someone wants to bring them out, it's like they still like doing it. Imagine if there's a thing that you can now look at as a hobby. You're already set for life. And someone's going to pay you an obscene amount of money to do something you dig doing. And that's, I look at that more for the Mike Tyson thing than, you know, he's desperate for money. And
yeah, I mean, I think, like I said, he still has the itch. But the thing is you can't know. The thing is, I don't understand how they found a commission that is going to let him fight.
Mm.
Right. Because whether we like it or not, the Nevada State Athletic Commission sets the tone for the other 49 states. And NSAC has really started cracking down on letting older fighters fight. They've really started cracking down on people who had like multiple concussions. I mean, these guys are concussed probably damn near every day of their life because of the shots they take. But, you know, the guys who do like the posing when they get knocked out, you know, where their whole body seizes up, you know, guys who have multiple knockouts like that, they can't get approved to fight. Like, I want to know, like, anybody in chat, just let me know where the Tyson Paul fight's going to take place.
Dubai or some shit like that.
You see, there, that makes sense because they have no real commission.
It's I don't know how I feel about it because I think a lot of people, I think Jake Paul takes a page out of the Trump kayfabe book and understands how to play the role of villain very well.
Yeah, he and his brother both have mastered it.
And like everything about the setup for the fight was so fake, right? Like the whole, like, I got a call. Guess what? Like, there's a camera on you at all time. Mm-hmm. Like, who the fuck are you? And if there is a camera on you at all time, are you, is this what the new age of like a Prince type character is, where his entire house was wired for sound so you could record in any room, you're taking a shit and you fucking record a song? So, but you're the weird mirror image to 2024 version where there's a camera everywhere in your house, so you can record every event in your life.
I mean, the Paul brothers, whether we like it or not, have monetized everything about them.
Yeah.
At WrestleMania, we're going to have our first mat sponsor ever in WWE history, and that is Prime Athletic Drink.
Mm.
The United States champion in WWE is Logan Paul, right? I think that's more where his future is. My biggest issue with that is you have a guy like Roman Reigns who's on a part-time schedule. He's the face of the company, right? He's earned it after 20-something years of doing this. Logan Paul has literally done 5 matches and is and holds a mid-card title and works a part-time schedule. And while the salaries for our favorite wrestlers or sports entertainers, if you will, are not public, because of the new company TKO, it's a publicly owned vehicle. They have to provide all salaries now for SEC filings, which are public. You can go on the SEC website and look it up. Logan Paul is making as much as a guy like Cody Rhodes right now. Cody fucking Rhodes, who's done this for a very long time, who's wrestling royalty, is making just a little bit more than Logan Paul. He have 5 matches. And, you know, but like you said, it's money, it's publicity. Because what are these two assholes doing on their fucking podcast? Talking about, you know, Jake saying, I'm going to fight Mike Tyson. Logan Paul's like, I'm going to WrestleMania. You know, like, it's
they've social media their way into the sports world. And it feels as if one has their foot kind of firmly planted in a more pragmatic sports world for a social media influencer, while the other is still doing this kayfabe of boxing. And the Mike Tyson fight, regardless of the outcome, if you lose to Mike Tyson, if you're Jake Paul, for Mike Tyson, this could be your way to give him the greatest present of all time, because now he's officially, for a lot of people that like talking about sports and not being serious about it, can put him on the pantheon of the greatest heavyweights of all time. Sadly, Mike Tyson comes up in an era where a lot of heavyweights are aging and just aren't there the way they were in the early 80s and late 70s.
And yeah, and we talked about this on the boxing when we did the whole episode with about boxing. Your best heavyweights are coming from Eastern Europe now.
Yeah.
And it's because the United States doesn't put money into boxing anymore.
Where's there a fucking local real fighting gym? If you're a 6'5" black kid in the hood, you're either a power forward, you know, you're not putting on gloves.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of that has to do with you have the rise of MMA, right? And you also have a generation of people who, right or wrongly, don't want to get punched in the face.
Well, boxing used to be a thing that, oh, I'm a kid, I'm getting in trouble, I'm going to go to the Y.
Yeah.
And someone's going to put gloves on me and it's fine. You got to pay money for that shit now.
Yeah. And you want to know what happened to that poor kid? They're like, you're going to go in the army now because you're 18. I don't want to deal with you.
That's a good point. Ooh.
Right. And that poor kid was just like, God damn it, I've messed up so bad in my life.
No, my brother.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You're either going to the service or you're going to play, you know, one of the other sports where you don't get your face punched. You may break a knee, but you're not going to, you know, break your nose.
Yeah. I mean, but the thing is, it's, oh, Jesus Christ, it's in Texas?
Yeah.
Oh.
Dallas Stadium. Where the Cowboys
Texas play. Athletic Commission is going to okay that. Okay, man. I mean, that's all I can say. Like me, if I, like, see, this is the thing. Like, I actually applied to be on the North Carolina State Athletic, like, you know, Fight Commission.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told no fucking way. And it's because I fought before.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, to have someone licensed to fight the entire panel in North Carolina, it's 5. I believe in Nevada, it's 7. It's mm-hmm. like a unanimous thing. If one person says no, like, we want to see more blood work, like something, like maybe he had an irregular like sugar count or something,
mm-hmm.
right? Me as a guy on the committee can say, no, I want to see his blood work come back. Like, we're going to test his blood one more time.
Mm-hmm.
And if it comes back okay, then I will absolutely change my vote. We'll license this guy to fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for me, fuck no, dude. There's no way I'm letting a guy over the age of 50 get in a boxing ring, even with a guy like Jake Paul. One, I'm looking at it this way. You're 50 years old. You're not as fast as you used to be. He's doing actual boxing training where Jake Paul is doing like this weird shit. You know, like, I saw back-to-back training, like, montages for him. Mm-hmm. Tyson's doing actual fucking training. Jake Paul is doing this weird shit where he's in front of like a heavy bag. His coach pushes it to him. He's on a stool and he gets up, he pops up, throws 4, and he sits again. And on the swing, like, it's just like, I boxed for a long time. Never fucking did that. Sorry. Weird. I was constantly on the move. You know, that's part of the route. It's how you get your gas tank up, you know, in addition to running, you know. But like, it's not even just that. It's Tyson's 50 plus years old. Okay. His blood work's fine. He's showing no cognitive, issues. You know, when I speak to him, he's actually answering me in sentences. I mean, that's how Evander Holyfield didn't get licensed in Georgia when he tried to fight at like 49, because the guy can't string together a sentence anymore. You know, like, it's all mumbling. But it's also, Jake Paul's not a real boxer, and I have to authorize him stepping in the ring with one of the hardest punchers to ever put gloves on. Like, we could literally be signing this kid's death warrant. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. whether we like it or not, people still die in boxing rings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so do I want that on my conscience? Fuck no, I don't. But, you know, we've fucking beat this into the ground. It's about money. I mean, fucking AT&T Stadium, I believe, is like 72,000 seats.
And it's a legacy thing for again, Mike Tyson can get looked at if he wins the fight in the same way we look at Muhammad Ali. The same way we look at George Foreman, the same way we look at who else you want to put up there.
Yeah, but I think the biggest knock against
Frazier. Yeah,
the biggest knock when we're comparing Tyson to those three,
mm-hmm.
we'll just use those three as a case study. You know, what did all three of them do later on in life that Tyson was not able to?
Keep boxing.
Well, one, keep boxing. Two, win a fucking world title.
Yeah.
Fighting real fighters. Point.
Yeah.
Tyson fought a series of bums at the end. And when he was put in position to fight real fighters, he lost.
He lost badly.
Yeah, it wasn't even close.
It was bad. And, you know, then the knock was, well, his best years were in prison. It's like, okay, there's nothing we can do about that.
Yeah, but again, I mean, fucking George Foreman never stepped foot in a goddamn gym to lift a weight like he did. You know, the old Rocky on the Mountain shit. I'm going to go beat up a cow, you know, and fucking, you know, that's how he trained. Mm-hmm. And he came back, and when it's George Foreman and that powerful right hand. And when he put Michael Moore on his back, and Moore was, I don't know if it was the shock from the punch or the shock that he fucking got shellacked by like a 42-year-old George Foreman, you know, but he couldn't get up. And next thing you know, George Foreman is what? Heavyweight champ of the world again, you know. See, the shitty thing is those guys decided to come back when we're starting to see the fractioning of the titles, where,
yeah,
you know, in the early 80s you only had 3 sanctioning bodies, and by 91 you have 4.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the claim to be the unified champ, you know, those guys all had a piece of the pie. You know, but I mean, I'm hoping this year we actually get a unified heavyweight champ for the first time since Lennox Lewis, when Usyk and Fury fight, because Usyk's got 3 belts and Fury's got the WBC belt. So I'm interested to see how that fight goes, because Fury is a big man.
And these, do you think these fight? And I'll end with this because I know it's late. Do you think these fights, these Jake Paul fights, these media influencer fights, take away from actual boxing matches?
Yes, because the only people in boxing that are making fuck you money every fight are guys like Canelo, right? Canelo is a boxing promotional free agent. He promotes himself. So he fights for PBC. He fights for, you know, Golden Boy. He fights those fighters. He fights anybody he wants because he's not locked into one of those, you know, promoters camps. Mm-hmm. So he can go to a network like DAZN, sign a seven fight deal, only do three, walk away with $450 million just from the deal. That's not talking pay-per-view money or t-shirt sales or sponsorships. That's just him getting $450 million from DAZN, period. Mm-hmm. Right? And unfortunately, you've got, excuse me, you got guys like Bud Crawford who have been dominant in every weight class. And he just unified the titles at 147. He's from Omaha, Nebraska, dude. And you know what he does to promote himself? Nothing. And he might be the best boxer on the planet right now, but you wouldn't know it. He's just not a talkative guy. And when you align yourself with these promotional bodies like PBC and Al Haymon, and Golden Boy with De La Hoya. And then you have the European guys, which are slowly all being consolidated into Matchroom, right? You only fight fighters that are in your stable, you know? So, like, you don't branch out much. So we don't get a lot of these unification bouts. My favorite fighter right now is Inoue from Japan. Dude has been a unified champ at every weight class from 112 to 135 now. So he's going to blaze past Manny Pacquiao and being a unified champ in eight weight classes. And he's just phenomenal to watch. And people are just now starting to know who this guy is. And I'm talking just casual boxing fans because he got a TikTok. Right? So he's putting his fights up on TikTok and people are like, God damn.
I'm loving boxing reels and I guess stuff from TikTok that I see on Instagram. I love it. But you know, there's also a massive audience for this street beefs shit.
Yeah, and see, let's get back to like the actual point here is that very few boxers are making the fuck you money.
Yes.
Right? Very few.
Very few people.
Yes. But in boxing especially, you only have three or four guys that make that kind of money. Tyson Fury, Canelo, I would say Gervonta Davis is a kind of a guy that's he promotes himself really well. He's very loud, very brash. The thing is, he can't make weight at his weight classes. Like for a dude his size, making weight at his age should be easy. Like he's only like 23 and he consistently misses weight. So like this is a dude at like 5'6" that it may end up having to fight at like 147 and he's going to get shellacked. You know, like he's not going to be able to live there. Bud Crawford is 6'3". Dude, he can just fire a jab at his forehead all night and then hit him with a fucking cross and he'll go down, right? But the guys that can promote themselves can get some of that pie, right? Mm-hmm. But I think it's fucked up when you've got guys, you know, and I'm going to go back a little ways, guys like Mickey Ward and Arturo Gatti.
Ooh, those are some great fights.
Oh, between the two, absolutely. But they themselves put themselves, like, fought for 20-something years. And you got to think, you know, you all watched The Fighter where Mickey Ward wins a title. That was a WBU title. Like that, like if we're talking out of 10 sanctioning bodies, the WBU's 10th. Like nobody gave a shit, right? He didn't fight for the big four, right? Oh, I appreciate that, Mercutio. Thank you. That's right. We're going to – fingers crossed for that fucking job interview. But those guys fought for how long? How long?
Yeah.
And didn't make money until they fought each other, right? And it wasn't the purses that some of these guys make now. And then you look at Jake Paul, who puts on Misfit Fight against KSI or whoever the fuck, right? Another YouTuber. And it pulls in what, like, I think $45 million in pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. It's just like, that's not even counting the sponsorship money. That's not even counting all the ancillary shit, right? $45 million where Jake Paul and KSI got to split it. Right? Mm-hmm. If I'm a boxer, and I've been boxing since I was like 8 years old, And I'm fighting the uphill battle to get the WBC just to rank me in the top 10 for their regional belt, you know, their North American championship. What's the fucking point if I go fight for that belt on, you know, we'll say Showtime before they shut down their boxing, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to get a $60,000 check and I might get 12 out of it after paying taxes in my cornerman. You know, like, mm-hmm. What's the fucking point? So I think it's really disrespectful to actual boxers who've put in the time and the blood, the sweat, the tears, you know, that are just getting shit on by people like Paul and all these other fucking YouTubers. I think that, you know, boxing is something I could pick up in my mid-20s. But because I have name recognition out there, they're going to make a killing.
Do you think we're seeing – and I hate to follow up with this because I know you want to go. Do you think we're seeing a de-evolution of the sport back to something that maybe we thought we left in the past? Bum fights. Remember bum fights?
Yeah.
That's what I'm reminded of when I see the stuff like street beefs and all this other backyard stuff. It reminds me that gets more eyeballs than some of these big time fights.
Yeah. I mean, you're not even kidding. I mean, dude, there was a time, and I'm really going to date myself, when ECW was having issues getting on TV. Mm-hmm. And in the mid-90s, mm-hmm. I mean, that was some of the best wrestling you were going to see. It didn't have anything to do with like them almost bleeding to death in the ring. There were just amazing wrestlers there, right? Mm-hmm. They couldn't get on TV, but you know what you can get for $9.99 ordering off of like a commercial at midnight?
The Girls Gone Wild, seen on TV.
That's right. That and backyard wrestling, which far outsold ECW's pay-per-views and their like their film shit that they were doing the same stuff. Mm-hmm. So, you know, two schlubs like me and you can get 50 of our friends, build this rickety ass fucking ring in the backyard, fucking sell 600 videotapes at $9 a pop. And we can do it every fucking weekend. You know? ECW was like, they were looking at their champ, you know, Shane Douglas, and they're like, bro, I'll give you $112 for tonight.
You know, that's half the door. It's killing me.
Yeah. Paul Heyman's over there like fucking crying into his fucking hat, just like, God damn it.
when I see the way people are invested in the backyard stuff, and when I see the way people are invested in the Jake Paul stuff, I understand one thing. There's only one Jake Paul.
Yeah.
There's not another. The only other person that could draw in the social media world that people would actually give a fuck about is like Joe Rogan.
Yeah. And the thing is like Rogan's an actual fighter, you know, like he's a BJJ guy, which I respect. You know, that's all well and good. That's cool. You know, but for me, a guy like Rogan, like he knows I can make $120 million a year spewing bullshit into a microphone for a few hours a day. Why the fuck would I go and, you know, go into a training camp for a couple months to go and fight a guy like Jake Paul? He's like, dude, that $45 million cut you're going to give me, I wipe my ass with it. And then, you know, I toss it in the toilet. You know,
there's no other – the Pauls are doing something that you can't duplicate.
Dude, exactly. But see, this is why WWE and now TNA is trying to line up the same thing. But WWE has what they call NIL, next in line, where they go out and get college athletes when their playing days are done and they start training them. Mm-hmm. Right? Like the Cavender twins, they have an NIL deal with WWE.
That's dope. That's
right? Smart.
Yeah.
But a lot of these people are already marketed by playing in college, by having that presence on social media. So what does WWE get out of it? They get new eyeballs, right? New eyeballs means better share prices for TKO, which means these wrestlers are going to get bigger cuts. We've seen wrestler pay go through the roof in the last 5 years. A lot of that has to do with Triple H kind of taking over and getting away from the McMahon shit. I mean, dude. But the last 2 or 3 years have probably been some of the best wrestling since, like, honestly, the Attitude Era. Fucking great matches. I love the storylines. I met the future love of my life in Rhea Ripley. She just doesn't know it yet, you know. But, you know, it's the thing is because of those new eyeballs coming to, you know, the WWE, they're able to do that. And you know what's easy now? I get a kid, maybe I change their name from what they played. You know, I gave them a ring name. Mm-hmm. But people fucking recognize them. And those followers are going to, like, they've already got a built-in following. You don't have to build that anymore.
I mean, that's the future of a lot of this shit. It's acting, right, is the same way. Oh, you have a Instagram following, a Vine following. Here's a movie deal.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't pan out at the next level. Sometimes it does. But I asked that question about, are we seeing kind of a pivot away from, I think the traditional boxing is always going to be there.
Yeah, because but, I mean, there's always you always want a space for professionals.
But is it going to turn into something like it was in like the 17th century, 18th century?
Yeah.
When it was like for aristocrats to know how to fight. Because A, who can afford it? Right. Yeah. Who can afford it? And, you know, you can get the same if you just want to see some asshole get knocked out. Well, just go to the Street Beefs, you know, YouTube, yeah. Instagram, TikTok page, and you can see people get knocked out for the next hour and a half if that's what you want to see.
Yeah.
And in various MMA and straight up boxing.
It's not even just like Street Beefs, man. World Star still, like, they started.
People yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. there's some backyard league somewhere yeah. that is getting tons of eyeballs to just see people get knocked out.
I think you have something there because somebody already brought up the bare knuckle shit.
Yeah. Slap fighting.
Yeah, another one. But see, for me, you know, Bare Knuckle FC is an actual sanctioned fight yeah. organization.
Yeah.
Again, how do you, as a state athletic committee, give authorization for anybody to fight bare knuckles? I don't give a fuck if your hands are taped. Don't care.
How long can you do it? That's my point. How long do you have before all of your checks come due?
Yeah.
You're constantly cashing or writing these checks every time you get into the bare knuckle ring, and you're writing some big fucking checks.
Mm-hmm. And they are. And the thing is, where is half your check going to go? Going to go to your cut men, your training men, right? And your ER bill.
You're not making anywhere near the money of even a low rung UFC league.
No, you're not. Nowhere close. I mean, dude, you got to think PFL, which was considered for a long time the number three out of the UFC Bellator PFL rankings. PFL just bought Bellator.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they got Saudi money behind them. That's all it is. Saudi wanted in on UFC and TKO when they were merging that company.
Mm-hmm.
And the SEC was like, nope, not going to happen. So the Saudis and Lou, you know, since they couldn't get their hands on UFC, were like, well, fuck it. We'll start dumping a shit ton of money into PFL. Bellator's having money issues because Viacom wants to get out of the fight game. That's why Showtime's shutting down their boxing operations. And Viacom found a buyer in PFL, bought with Saudi money. So essentially, PFL is running two fight leagues. Bellator's only – they're not going to be doing cards like they used to. It's just going to be like champ – you know, mm-hmm. essentially champions cards. Mm-hmm. And those Bellator fighters will be able to fight in the PFL like season setup, which I hate. I hate – I just think that's some nerd shit. You know, it's getting to the point where, you know, PFL, the big thing about it was at the end of the season, you ended up champ, you got a $1 million check. That was 17 people. You know what I mean? That was the 17 champs,
yeah.
14 dudes and 3 women, mm-hmm. right? But now with the Saudi money, literally Francis Ngannou was told, hey, man, we're going to give you like 20 mil a year. You can do boxing. And just come back to MMA when you're ready.
Right? I think he's coming back soon.
Yeah, after that Anthony Joshua fight, Jesus fucking Christ.
I think he had enough.
Dude, and Joshua's looked like shit the last like 3 fights.
The best, Joshua's when they got knocked out. Who was the chubby dude that knocked him out?
That would be Oh, Jesus Christ, dude. I forgot his name.
Anyway,
I was at I was at Camp Anarchy pirating the fight after the show's ended.
Dude, when he got knocked out, the memes of him.
Oh, yeah.
The sleep memes of him.
Oh, I mean, Joshua comes back and beats him, but then just takes a beating from Alexander Usyk, you know? And Usyk is a natural cruiserweight. So it's just like, man. But I mean, Joshua's biggest thing was he kind of fought like Tyson, but like with an extra foot of height on him.
Yep.
Was I'm big, I'm strong, I can beat your skull in, but you can wear him down quick. You know, like you can gas him out real fucking quick. And when you're big, when you're a big fat motherfucker that could just take a beating, Joshua gassed himself out beating the shit out of this
beating
guy.
Beating the shit out of that guy that had a fucking iron plate in his head. If that's his X-Men power.
Yep.
He
was the Flubbernaut, right? Like,
but you know, it's like that whole right hand thing too. It's like, all right, maybe you should try another strategy because this one ain't it.
Yeah, dude. And the thing is, Joshua's went through three different trainers since that fight. So I think he might have found him a good one. I think it's gonna be a while before Joshua was able to get back in like the title fights.
Yeah.
Because that we're waiting on to see if who's the unified champ going to be. Because if Usyk wins, if he beats Fury, he's going to be a fighting champ. He'll fight once or twice a year. I don't see Fury. Like, I can see Fury winning all four belts, going into negotiations to defend them, dropping a couple because the sanctioning bodies are like, listen, you have to fight our number one contender, who is probably somebody no one's heard from Eastern Europe, and he just drops them. And then next thing you know, we're back to the fractured weight class again, because Fury doesn't give a shit. He's just like, I want big money fights, I just want to get paid, you know? So I don't know, man. But I mean, I'm with you though. It's more entertaining when I can open up TikTok or Reels, and it's cheaper too, let's be honest. Like, yeah. The pay-per-view fights have only shot up in price over the last 5 to 10 years.
The way everything changes, like, look, I'll wrap up with this. Technology is not our enemy, but the way that we're experiencing these events, especially because none of us can afford it, is through our phones.
Yeah.
And whoever is on that medium first will be the dominant force. And right now the dominant force is, you know, makeshift fighting. And so, you know, I don't know how I feel about all this Jake Paul stuff. I have to really sit with it for a minute. Am I going to watch the fight? If I'm somewhere where someone's playing it, I'll watch it. I don't have Netflix, so you know, I can't watch it here in my house. Also on that note, you know, let's do our shout outs. I want to send a shout out to my good friend DJ Plattern. Happy birthday. Oops, that's the wrong drop. Can't do that drop. Happy birthday. My first DJ. World famous now, DJ Plattern, happy birthday to you. Also, shout out to Nuclear Waste and TJ, where I got this really cool The Cure shirt.
Shout out to Dr. Claw. He had a successful appendectomy earlier before he started tuning in. So,
Yeah. Shout out to Dr. Claw. Shout out to Max Testicles. They're fine.
We're good to go. No cancer. We're
good to go. Also, shout out to Max Job Interview.
Needed that one.
So on that note, thank you guys for hanging out with us. I'll see most of you tomorrow. We'll be talking with Dr. Steve Maurer about the fall and rise of financialization in the United States. It's a great book. The link to the show is already up, and there's a link to the book already there if you want to check it out beforehand. And on that note, hold it. Stay on target. Out.